I'm sort of a history buff. I like to learn about history, and in particular, I like to study military history. It's one of the things that, growing up, I was fascinated by, and would often read different books and things like that. I'd like to share a little something from Minnesota history, maybe, or in particular, a little part of the American Civil War. So, you're probably familiar with the Battle of Gettysburg. The second day of the battle, July 2nd, 1863, there was a critical moment that happened. The Union line was kind of fractured and broken. One of the generals had sent his forces up in the middle of the line, and then they kind of got attacked, and they were kind of retreating in disorder. And there were all these Confederate soldiers coming forward. There were about 1,500 soldiers in pursuit of these guys, and basically there was no one there in the middle of the line, and so the whole Union position was under threat. Well, the general, General Hancock, he was there. He was kind of commanding the situation. He looked around and he said, "Gosh, we got nobody to cover the line here." And then he noticed there's this small regiment over here in support of a battery. And so he went over there and said, "Hey, you guys, you go take those colors," pointing towards the oncoming Confederates. This was the 1st Minnesota. There were about 262 guys in this group, and so he said, "Go." And so they charged off. They were able to delay the enemy for about 15 minutes, enough time to shore up the Union line and save the position that day. And some say that they saved the battle, and also perhaps even the war, because that was such a big battle that had such a big effect on the rest of the war. So, pretty important moment in that situation there. Why do I share this history lesson, you might be saying? Well, I believe it's a striking image of what our call as Catholics today is. You know, we're in the church today, we are engaged in a battle for truth, a battle for human dignity, a battle for souls. And just like in this battle in the American Civil War, those on both sides, they were all Americans, right? So they're all fighting each other. And in a sense, at times we're fighting against the people who we're called to save. We're called to bring them to the truth, bring them to God. And we're meant to share the victory together. And yet the real enemy is Satan, right? He's out there to try to attack us and bring us down. Over the last 2,000 years, there's been a long line of men and women who have gone ahead of us. And God willing, that will follow after us. But in this critical moment, the line starts kind of thin. You know, we look around us for the last 50 years, we've sort of witnessed this disorderly retreat, you might say, of Catholicism. For different reasons, right? Many people have left the battle line. And so we're kind of stretched thin. And these are challenging times. We might feel outnumbered. We might feel outgunned. We might say, "Gosh, I don't know if we can win this fight. Maybe we should just hightail it out of here. Maybe we should get out of this situation." But I would say this is our time. This is our time. The Lord has given this to us to hold our position, to teach the faith, to proclaim the gospel, to plunge into the fray, and to be people of courage. If we don't stand up for the gospel, if we don't preach the gospel in our day, who else will? Who else will? God has sent us. He has placed us here in this moment for this purpose. There's no one else. Kind of scandalous, isn't it, that God trusts us with this big responsibility? Just as he sent the apostles on what seemed probably like a ridiculous mission, he sends us too out into the world to bring his good news, to fight against darkness, to fight against evil in the world. St. Paul today reminds us, he says, "If I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me. Woe to me if I do not preach." Woe to us if we don't preach. Now you might be saying, "Well, Father, that's your job, huh? How about you do that?" Yes, you're right. But it's your job too. St. Paul again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, "Proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage, through all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and we'll stop listening to the truth, and we'll be diverted by myths. But you be self-possessed in all circumstances. Put up with hardships, perform the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I think these words for us strike at what we're called to do. Let's look down the road a little bit. Let's look ahead in time, over the next hill, you might say. What do we see ahead? Is it going to get easier to live our faith? Is it going to be, you know, nice and easy in the next 50 years? Should we coddle ourselves or our children and tell them, you know, just do what's comfortable, do what's easy? I would say no. That is the wrong attitude. We can't do that. The time of lukewarm, comfortable Catholicism is kind of at an end. If not already at an end, it's near its end. You know, we honor the First Minnesota for their sacrifice. That was a great sacrifice. Out of the 262 men that went into that engagement, only 47 came back. It's like 84% casualty. Pretty high. They held that position, and it had a great effect. And as valiant and as awe-inspiring as that is, that action that is, do we realize that the work of saving souls is even greater? Do we believe that? We recognize that. The work of building up and safeguarding the body of Christ in this time is of great consequence. Lives are impacted and will be changed forever, not just in this life, but in eternity. St. Don Bosco, who we celebrated this week, it was his feast day, I believe, on Thursday, he said, "Give me souls." Now, his work was often with the poor, especially with children, the young. He was able to bring these people close to Christ and help them. Can we say the same? Can we say anything about our lives? Or can we at least say we do something to bring souls to Christ? Is there anything concrete that we can point to in our lives that is a work of redemption, a work of making Christ known and loved in the world? Or are we primarily concerned about ourselves and our salvation? That's important too, but do we ever look to the people around us and try to help them? Now, I don't say these things to place up guilt on us or complain that, gosh, you guys aren't doing enough, you know. I simply want to remind you of your great dignity that God has given to you, that you have been entrusted with so much. We have been born into great responsibility. We live in a country which allows great freedoms. We live in a time of great education. We live and have received the Catholic faith. These are gifts that not everyone receives. Many people do not receive these gifts. Will we give them back to Christ? Will we use them for His glory? Will we use these gifts to glorify God and to build up His kingdom? If we don't use these gifts, what will we say to Jesus when our time comes, when we meet Him? I didn't have enough time. I didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough knowledge. I was afraid. I was busy. What will we say? When I look at the people of these two parishes here in Crosby and Deerwood, I see many, many gifts and many blessings that we have received. What we have here is special. Maybe you don't see that because you live in it, but look around at other places. We have so much going for us. We're rich in the gifts of God. And I ask you to be rich in giving back to God. Find a way to actively give back to the Lord, a way to participate in the redemption of others. So don't hoard your gifts, but let them overflow. Share your knowledge, your faith. Share your story of how God has worked in your life. Share your money with worthy charities and projects. Can we outdo God in generosity? Is that possible? It's not. God will always be more generous than we can imagine. If we have become accustomed to sharing what God has given, God will do amazing things here. We give honor and respect to the First Minnesota for what they did at Gettysburg. They gave their lives for a cause. I'm sure every man that entered into that charge wanted to live to the end of the day, wanted to go back to their families and their homes. But as fate would have it, that wasn't the call that God gave to them in that moment. They had a different fate. We stand in this place in a time, perhaps we don't really want to follow this call that God has given to us, to be radical, obedient servants of the Lord. But that is our call. This is our time. It has fallen to us, and we have what we need. God has given the gifts that we need to do our mission. What if those men had said, "No, I'm not going to do that"? Or what if only half of them had gone? Maybe things would have turned out differently. Maybe we have two countries right now instead of one. The ramifications of a few people making a choice to be obedient, to be heroic, to be courageous, can have an amazing effect on the world and on history. We are talking about something that is not only changing history, but can impact the salvation of souls. What is our response to that? Will you stand up? Will you hold the line? Will you go out and cast your nets into the deep? Jesus tells us, "Let us go to the nearby villages that I may preach there also. For this purpose I have come." Do we share that purpose? Are our lives ordered to carrying out the will of God, to be obedient to His call? Do we have a sense of urgency to fulfill the command God has preached to us, that He has given to us? "Woe to me if I do not preach." Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me.